I have a question about getting on the phone as opposed to listening on the internet. When I listen to the program on the internet, I have a much harder time grasping what's going on as to when I pick up the phone and I actually call. And it's almost as though the ideas come through the telephone in a different way than they come through the internet, which of course makes sense if we go McLuhan-esque and talk about medium and message and
right.
You know, going to a movie as opposed to watching television.
Maybe so it's a higher frequency.
Yeah, and ask Ian that question if he comes back tonight. Ask him, is there something about being
okay.
on the phone? Here's Ian. Ian's back.
How silly and ridiculous that you have to go around this mountain back and forth and forth and back and over and under again. Oh, no. What an android meme you have created.
What are they doing at Disneyland?
Okay, Ian. Susan was asking if she seems to be able to understand you better while listening on the phone as opposed to listening
it's
on the internet.
It's because the chip body is a different connection to the chip body. That you made a separation from the cloud and that your peapod and your computer rather than a line. It's just a point of contact. The interaction, you trained yourself to be interactively more cognizant on a telephone than you have responding to your peapod. That'll change, but it's not right
sure.
now. If the phone rings, you were of the generation that were compelled you had to answer the phone because it rang. You could
yeah.
just not answer the phone. You didn't. That was not polite. They called you. You wanted your phone to ring. Now you want
right.
you pay money to have your phone not to ring. Imagine that, but. That's the point. So your sensory perception is heightened from the one-on-one connection in the telephone, and it's why we came back.
Okay, that's great. Because I really do hear it. I hear the concepts.
You're interacting with it. You would say you hear it on the internet, but you feel it on the phone. Okay?
Okay, yeah.
So what were we talking before? What questions did we have before?
The Wi-Fi. Well, we were talking about the Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah, the Wi-Fi, yeah.
And emptying.
The wrong kind of radiation. You need something stronger. You need H-197 is the best, but you really need to juice it up. If you have any used deuterium, that would be okay. You could bathe in that, or you could take some. Sometimes there's an isotope of uranium, 257. The enriched plutonium, that's good too. But
where would I find them?
Well, we can't tell you because they get all upset when we start divulging those things. But you're not going to get enough out of a cell tower to do you any good.
But, Ian, you're not going to get any bad out of the cell tower.
Oh, no, you want the radiation.
If you're on the RNA job.
They're not powerful enough. That's what you should complain about, Susan. You go to this city hall and say, make these things more dangerous. We're not getting any bad from them.
Right.
But it's good for the people on RNA drops, but not for other people.
We're not speaking to the little people.
Other drops. I mean, yeah.
We aren't speaking to the little ones. The little ones run from that radiation. Don't worry, it'll be over for y'all soon. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
What will be over?
For them. Girls,
for them.
They know it.
Oh, but we all know a lot of little people.
Well, kiss them goodbye, honey.
Maybe not. Maybe if they're around us, they're not.
Very potential. You are God. You say how it goes. However, you cannot sustain littleage. That's what we call little men now, littleage. They're like silage, littleage long. Because you come into the place where you got to get happy or you're going to get out. We're going to see to it. Don't you worry. You will get happy in this world or you are not long for it.
I want to ask Ian about the theory of the electric universe as opposed to the Big Bang expanding universe. Is there any validity to that?
No.
So the Big Bang is the right...
Oh,
approach?
No, gracious, no. No, but those were not the only two choices for us.
Can you tell us the other option for you?
You're talking about the theory. You have a theory when you don't know. There's the fallacy. Get over that part. That'll help you right there. No,
well,
the fall of
on the internet, I've watched a lot of lab experiments that sure make it sound legitimate.
Then they should make one. They will have to show you how to make one. If you could create a world like this one, you'd be doing it. You wouldn't be discussing it on the YouTube.
I just have trouble accepting the whole Big Bang thing. It just doesn't make
sense.
We
do too. It's silly. It doesn't. It's ridiculous. There's some nebula somewhere out there of a time gauge that doesn't count time that says some quark or neutrino showed up and sparked a supernova that set a Milky Way into the way of some other way that didn't get sucked up in a black hole that came from Adonis 448 and the crypto nebulae of some Uranus's overtone that made this whole galaxy a galaxy. See? Kind of silly. It's like explaining where Santa Claus goes after Christmas. Sorry, but it doesn't apply. Who gives a fuck? Basically.
Okay. So, but the other theory about the universe being filaments of plasma and electrical doesn't pull water.
That doesn't work either, because now you have to have some place to see. You also are eternal. So what do you do with an eternal being in this thing that just hiccuped a bit ago? You know, some god had indigestion and vomited up Mars and Venus. My very educated mother made me 9 pizza pies. Oh, wait, no, there's another planet now. Then you lose Pluto, and then you add another one. Oh, no. It's ridiculous. Sitting here talking about the planets, you can't count the damn things, let alone make tell how they got here, how they got into rotation of the third rock from the sun, for Pete's sake. It's like having an intelligible conversation about DNA. They're still trying to use DNA to get the baby daddies out of jail. For Pete's sake. Mark Povich trying to find out who the baby daddy is so they can figure out who to get to send the checks for. Who to get the money checks for.
They don't create a world. With the RNA drops in our products, we create a world. We're creating a world.
Well, that's fine, yes, indeed, but he's trying to find out something, Bob. It's just metaphorically ridiculous. You've got to come back to the place that temporal state, what you call your world, you can get the lines and spaces and go a million times in between the feathered layers of what you call your world. Your world is so transient, you can't even keep it together long enough to live through the next disaster because you didn't get over the last disaster. Then you find something that's a great big old fault and you build a castle right in the middle of it. Oh, everything gets blown away every time I build a house on the San Andreas Fault. Something like this happens. And then you go build a bigger one. And then you wonder how this history keeps repeating itself. Well, it keeps repeating itself because you ridiculous little sons of bitches can't keep it straight of what you're actually doing. You don't know what you're here for. So you can't gauge a hereafter if you don't know what you're here for.
So are we here just to experience everything there is to experience?
No, you're here to be God.
You already did.
You forget. You already did all this. You were God. You were so powerful. You separated yourself from your power.
You already experienced it, Barbara. So what's your next question from that?
How did it come out?
Eureka.
Is that the show you're referring to, Eureka? Or the expression or the place?
Place.
In California.
Is there something for me in Eureka?
You want to always go.
Well, no, I'm just, you mentioned it, so I'm wondering the reasoning.
Well, he said it wasn't a TV show.
You think... There's no connection with Eureka. You know nothing of Eureka. You know not where it is. You don't have any contact.
No, I know where it is, and
well,
I know there's a show also.
That's the point. Well, that's the point.
We talking about the town, Barbara, or the TV show?
I think we're talking about the town. Is there going to be an earthquake in Eureka? A big one?
Always.
Always. Now, like Bob's calling tonight, always.
I got the all-purpose answer.
Bob.
I can do all that now.
In some world.
The connection, as you already know, in the, it's also described in the show of Eureka as well. You can go by way of the Willamette Valley if you want to, but not necessary.
That's
coming up. Okay, well, in the show Eureka, they
have. By way of Portland. Berlin, Barbara.
By way of Portland. That's right.
So what, Barbara, did you say? We're trying to keep you on focus here, Barbara.
In the show, they have a lot of anomalies taking place, and they're doing scientific things in the town. And there's, like, portals that people can go
in. And it's funny because the name of that company is GD. And then you go to Fringe, and that's Global Dynamic. Imagine that.
Same initials.
Oh, my God, GD.
More questions about Fringe with Olivia and that one scene where she is the conduit.
No, but Peter was when they were trying to close the worlds, and then she became, I guess, expatriation of it. But remember the big machine Walter that couldn't remember Walter was trying to undo, and bad Walter was trying to do to get Peter in it so he could close it up. So they wouldn't be all ooey-gooey in the resin world.
Ooey-gooey
in the resin world, because they were resin that wanted to build out.
And the whole Adam and Eve reference with the Ark, and I just had forgotten all that with the ship with the animals on it.
Hey, I have some questions about the fingernails. Saving the fingernails for cold fusion, is that the flux capacitor? And how will we be utilizing, if we're saving our fingernails, will we be using that for our own power or bartering? Or
you can use it in your own if you want to, but you only need one. It lasts a long time.
Can you describe the process in using the fingernails to create power?
No.
Yes.
Will it be like you did, like money?
No,
wait.
No. Here's something that no one realizes. When I'm telling people to take their power back, you know how they're going to do it? When they get their cold fusion box.
So it would be both. It would be that and also taking your own power back.
Whatever that means. But you wouldn't have to, but you could. You insist
on
your
own. It would be your own power. If you own your own cold play, it would be yours, and be your own power. Good.
It still a surprise when this happens, or are we getting advance notice? Is this going to show up?
Now look what you did, Barbara.
Well, if I achieve an orgasm, it's my orgasm. Will I enjoy that orgasm? Well, probably no more or less than your last orgasm, darling. No more than your last orgasm, but maybe not as much as your next orgasm. But if you achieve Coldplay and an orgasm, we hope they're both equally enjoyable and pleasurable to you. Delightfully so.
Will you tell us what's contained in the fingernail that the rest of the body does not have?
Look at the composition. What is the composition? Describe the composition of fingernail. It's made up of
keratin.
Describe keratin.
A family of fibrous structure proteins, key structure material making up the outer layer of the human skin. Component of hair and nails, monomers, assembly into bundles, form intermediate filaments. But we're looking for what? We're looking for more chemical bases here. All proteins contain carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen. One of the proteins found in keratin is cysteine. Contains the fifth element sulfur.
Yep. Okay.
Keep going.
Which is nitrogen and keratin, along with hydrogen, forms amino acid groups NH2. The oxygen and keratin, along with hydrogen and carbon, forms carbolic acid groups. Negative COOH acids and bases interact, forming strong chemical bonds.
We already laid this out. I mean, those building blocks are what you would use to incinerate Coldplay.
Was that the amino acid for chemical formula you were saying earlier, Ian?
That was a different conversation dealing with RNA earlier, but it comes back to this. You know, You get into 90210 or Dobbstown, you can't ever get out.
It's like the Hotel California.
That's right. You check in anytime you like, but you can never leave.
Oh, okay. Ion, if someone just has one RNA drop, are they going to be protected from radiation, or do they need to take it continuously?
One drop is all that's required, but they'll want more. That's the point. They'll desire more.
If they just have the one drop and they can want more, but if they don't get more and they just have that one drop, they'll still be able to stay here and ascend?
If they want, they'll die of craving. They'll die of craving for the drops.
You got to have a ton of living water if you're not going to have any drops.
And living water is composed of?
Axion water.
And axion water is composed of?
Water containing isotopes.
Containing isotopes. So we're back to the RNA drops then.
No, the isotope is the important thing.
We haven't got the isotope yet, do we?
The isotope is from another world. ICEL is interdimensional, another world.
Is that what's launching on the 22nd?
From the people that are not.
Reset.
So we get some new people that aren't.
God's peculiar people who are not. Yes.
Doesn't the ICEL come from the eye block?
It does come from an eye block.
Okay. And the difference between the living water and the RNA drops is...
One is bread of living water, and the other is living water.
Bread of living water is RNA drops, and it's not as powerful as the living water. Remember, I said that people would die from the living water if they didn't have the RNA drops.
The RNA contains no water.
It prepares you for the...
What is manna means bread? I'm just saying, the drops of the bread trickle down.
No, the ICEL is the manna.
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Manna has eye cells in it also. But manna
there it is. That's the way to say it. Yep.
But manna is, can you continue that last thought, Ion?
Manna is life-sustaining ascension food that you are like.
But we don't know what that is yet.
You don't?
Does anybody have it?
We do. We do.
Is this the manna, but you're not somebody.
You're many somebodies.
Okay, we do.
Okay, but we don't.
You
know what manna is.
Would you like to?
Yes,
absolutely.
Tell us.
We would.
Please.
I would like to know.
Can you tell us?
The whole point that we've been saying since itch, when we were sitting around doing our doppelganging, ball-busting, Bible bumping bit sessions, we were trying to explain this thoroughly all the way through every step of the way, and we have. But now you're asking the question again, so you can go back and look through all those different references. We told you there was a quiz. We told you there was a quiz. The whole point of this is that what is a shoebread?
So manna is nothing but the continuation of shoebread.
Manna is shoebread.
It's the re-fermented product.
What are you talking about? Shoe bread is not fermented. The whole point of manna is it's not leavened. How are you going to ferment something that's not? No.
Okay.
No. How does that tie together with the cold fusion box?
It doesn't.
And the fingernails?
It's how you power the cold fusion.
Does it not?
Is that why?
Because it is a direct choice, other than?
It's the best choice. I mean, you can whack off an arm and do it too, but, you know, you can grow another one back, but why go through all that?
The trimethylated lysine, that's created from the eye cell?
No, not. You use it in conjunction with.
The axiom water?
Yes, about it. You can't lead us now, darling. Your original question was?
Axiom water was a part of what was needed for manna. Is that correct?
It's not a requirement. It's not a requirement. You can use it in that process, but it's not required.
Okay. So trimethylated lysine comes from the eye cell.
We said, no, it does not.
the manna is not trimethylated lysine.
It contains it.
But that's not its primary constituent. That's not its active ingredient.
It's a small part of its composition. Small.
Okay. Is the active ingredient of this world?
It is now.
Because things have changed.
Every good boy does fine. It slips in.
F-A-C-E.
That your face, well, you haven't effaced yet, but you will.
The logarithm, is that a part of it?
2 pi.
133.
2 pi.
Yeah, 2 pi.
3.14.
No, 3.141592.
When we get to drop the irrational.
You did. It stopped at the last 5 now.
As we move along in timing, we're getting less and less irrational. Pi.
There is no time.
I said timing. I'm sorry.
Then amplitude. Then speak of amplitude. If you're speaking of amplitude, it depends on sine or cosine, where you start from your X and Y axis. That sets your pitch. Once you set your pitch, then your timing, or how often it repeats, will set the height or breadth length of your wave.
The upcoming conjunctions, are they going to change the pitch further?
They will amend the pitch. It will. The gradients will digress.
So we'll have a further reduction in the irrational value of pi.
All the way to 3.1415925. And we'll go past that because it'll be whole. It'll be indivisible by itself.
When the living water comes out and the shoebread comes out, will we be taking the RNA drops and the living water and the shoebread, or does one replace the other?
They won't necessarily replace the other, and it would be absolutely your choice. Typically, what will happen is you would probably wean off RNA drops after a bit, but a long bit. You see, your body's still transforming.
We'll wean off into what else? Anything else?
Will you morph into something else? God.
Isn't this incredible marketing? You ever heard about marketing like this? Look, we got a forum, seminar, discussing what the product will do. We claim it will turn into God. I mean, this is
great. This is great fun. This product that isn't. This product that isn't. That's right. That's good. You're ascending your own. You're not. It'll be over for you soon.
Have the changes already started to take place? Because I felt really strange this week.
Well, yeah, they have. Yeah. Sure they have, darling. How very goddamn observant of you.
You're picking up on the soft launch.
Well, what they're starting to notice is see, they've been engaging. And so the whole point of engaging is Bob, I've taken 9 drops. When am I really going to start feeling something? That's 9 times more than what I was supposed to take. I was just supposed to take 1, and I've taken 9. I was wondering just exactly when my world was supposed to change. So now it actually is starting to change.
And we got Bert, who hasn't had any of it. He's feeling the effects before he even got it.
Bless, do you
want to hear what it's like for me?
Yeah.
It's kind of like I feel like I have a foot in 2 worlds. And in one of the worlds, it's weird. It is both subtle and not at all subtle.
We did this in Revelations where you have one foot on the sea and one foot on the land.
And I get these, like, bolts of insight where I'm totally getting, like, when I'm re-listening to Payday, it's clicking in a way that it doesn't normally, and everything applies directly to my experience. But then I can shed that and be in a total less than I don't know anything state again, and I go back and forth.
Hey, Bob, is she bragging or complaining?
I'm telling the story.
It's going to be both?
It's developing.
It's entertaining.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just interesting. And I feel like at well, more and more I'm feeling like, okay, it really is just down to me. If I just lean in this direction, but then there, I am coming up against the whole unknown. Like, Ion, you were totally saying my words the other day. I don't know. Where, like, you get scared and I don't know about this.
You're so timid. You're such a chicken shit, Madeline. We get you to San Francisco and you say, did this really happen? Did I really get San Francisco? Then we take you up to Seattle and go, holy shit, I'm in Seattle. This really happened? I shouldn't be in Seattle. Then we take you up to Vancouver. Oh, fuck, I shouldn't be in Vancouver.
Carolyn, do we do that?
Also doubting, like, my own, is that real or am I deluded? Am I...
You are deluded, and it's not real.
Not real, and you are deluded.
You talked about somebody washing their hands nervously today. Was I nervous?
Yeah, you're getting it, honey.
What was I nervous about?
Whether you were deluded or not.
How do I ask that?
That's a good rule.
Degrees of separation, we're sure.
Yeah, that's the only thing to be nervous about, isn't it? I want to hear about Bert's soft launch. Bert, will you tell us about your soft launch?
All I can say is that for a few moments, or not more than a few moments, but I felt extremely nervous for no reason.
Nervous in the service, eh?
Yeah.
Is it like paranoia nervous or just a nerve?
On the borderline, paranoia nervous, but really nervous. Ooh. And then
you get that with Pussy Kush, too, you know.
Right, is excitement and nervousness biologically? Yeah. Is there a
and then do you
difference?
Take a diet crap after you feel that? Because I do.
One more time.
I'm serious. It's like this crazy purge. I get like really anxious, and then it gets like it elevates to being completely freaked out, and I'm like, wait a minute, why am I? Where's this coming from? And then
Madeline?
Like huge sorrow will come up, and then I take a massive shit, and it's all good. Like, and that's process
Madeline.
Is really intense.
You
and
go
then,
to public
and then
schools?
It's all clear.
Listen, just one big shit away.
If you're hardwired to only be able to take a shit when someone allows you, and all of a sudden no one's there giving you the constant reassurance that you can indeed tell when and have the ability to.
No,
the man doesn't take shit.
Like, it feels like a purge.
Yeah.
It's like this weird emotional, psychological thing that then manifests physically.
Hey, Madeline, you're giving up control of your feelings. Your mind's stopping the control. So that means any kind of feeling can happen. So at first it's unnerving that any feeling happens without any reason. So you're just giving up your reasons for having feelings.
Okay, that's all right.
What is it? Yeah. Can you define a feeling?
Well, any kind of emotion you're feeling, like anxious. See, I learned to experiment with that. You start feeling anxious, and you realize, well, this is not me, or it's nothing to do with any reason. And if you accept the feeling, knowing it'll go away, then you don't panic.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not gonna name. I won't name names, but I spoke to another Ionette who said she has the same experience. And we agreed I would say this publicly on the radio in case anyone else is having the same thing.
Did this happen this week?
I'm screaming. What is the experience?
Let's hear what Jermaine has to say. She explores this quite intensely, don't you, Jermaine?
Explore what?
These trembly, wavy, blubbly, blubbly experiences?
Yeah, but they don't make me take shits, though. Is that weird?
Well, we all can't be, 100% ascended. You know, these things.
You know, I think it's, I feel like it's old crap, and it's probably not something that somebody who's in their 20s would have to get rid of.
Yeah, that'll be coming in your future. That'll come later, Jermaine.
No, it won't.
What do you say about it? Ask Ion about it, Madeline.
I looked out this morning and the sun was gone. Turned on some music to start my day. I lost myself in a familiar song. I closed my eyes and slipped away. It's more than a feeling. More than a feeling. When I hear that old song they used to play. More than a feeling. And dreaming more than a feast till I see Marianne walked away. So many people have come and gone. Their faces fade as the years go by. Yet I still recall as I wander on, as clear as the sun in a summer day.
Oh, wow.
When I'm tired and thinking cold, I hide in my music, forget the day, and dream of a girl I used to know. I close my eyes and she slipped away. She slipped away.
I did meet someone once. I was with this chiropractor and she was complaining about this woman that was in the back room. And she was all upset, and I knew her very well, and I knew she didn't usually get upset. And she said, this woman won't leave. And I'm like, well, God, do you need to, you know, should we call security? I can, you know, call some of my friends in or something. And she goes, no. She died 4 days ago, and she won't leave. She's pissed off. She said, I did everything you told me to, and, you know, I still fucking died. And I
now, you know what that is, Allison? That's the exact definition of a ghost or a soul record. Ian says that the ghost you see is your memory of the dead person. So your friend was remembering that. It was a total creation of your friend.
So maybe she didn't feel good about how she let her go.
The residue.
Doesn't it? The soul.
Now, the residue is part of the soul, Ian? That's something we didn't get clear.
No, not part of the soul.
The soul. When you see a ghost, you're not seeing it. You never see the soul, correct?
Correct.
Good.
It's where and the souls go to kingdom land.
And it's not part of the essence?
No, because that's a good word you don't even know what it means.
Is the soul our contribution, my contribution?
No, it's your stenographer.
Right, that's what I'm thinking. It is the actual stenographer, not what is stenographed.
Right, it is the keeping track of realized and unrealized creation. That's all it does. It doesn't judge you. It doesn't care about you. It doesn't love you. It doesn't hate you. It doesn't do anything to you. It just keeps track. You want this, you
got
it.
Well, I love it regardless because... it
matters not. It matters not.
It matters not that you love it.
Okay.
That's silly.
Right, it matters not. It manifests not.
I order that one out of you.
However, why? Okay.
Ion, I don't use essence glibly.
There is no essence. Essence is the goo, is the jizz of your life. So it depends on how much.
No,
the jizz. You used the essence in the early years, but we're now in a reset, so you're saying don't use that word.
Well, you don't know what it means.
The eternal person goes
residue.
To the guff. That
the
eternal person
part.
Is what she means by essence.
Okay. What
Ooh,
does that
I
mean?
Don't. You know what I
but
mean?
You
mean like this refined core sort of? It's like your the gold. Like
no, that's the problem. There's your problem
that's
there. That's your whole problem.
That's
your woo-woo image of yourself. Your gold is your fucking body, not any essence inside it.
There isn't anything. Okay, so...
It's your body, your words, your voice, your throat is your gold.
Got it. So what?
It's a lot of swallows go back to Capistrano.
Am I bragging?
It's a lot of swallows go back to Capistrano.
But Madeline, you were saying something, but Ion, you talked about, you came in when I was talking about my friend, you know, seeing her, seeing this person that apparently had died.
The residue.
Yeah. A residue, not essence, residue. Okay.
Yeah.
Residue. That's right.
Well, and is it a residue of that person or a projection of the person seeing it, that residue?
Is your arm broken? It makes no difference. You have to have an x-ray to tell, but if it hurts like it is, it might have, you'll never know the difference. You see, because they're still eternal.
You can't, can
so,
you? Right.
You can't because they're still eternal. You can remember someone, you all still... Screw around with Abraham Lincoln, and he's been checked out for a while now, you see? Now you're going to get into this graven images. The graven images hold things of time, space. But yet they shift in the continuum, don't they?
So graving images is a way of stopping something.
It would, yes.
It would also maintain it continuously forever and stop.
Pixelation.
The iconoclasts were right. They destroyed the images.
Right.
That's what ion is. That's what an artist is. That's an anti-environment. You know, destroy the images that people stopped inside of. That's the limited physical.
What you just said hold true for photographs as well.
Yes, yes, yes.
What about when Bob saw a ghoul in the background of a
JW's
webcam? Right.
What was that ghoul, Ion? We talked about it before, but what was that ghoul we saw?
Specifically, though, can it just be said that the anyone or more people can see it in the residue refraction of it?
Yes.
Residue is what you do see. So was that residue we saw?
So producing those will create a rapid path for others?
And?
No.
So Ion.
Never.
Well, wait. Hey, Jack, do you have a question, Jack?
Yeah, I have a question for Ion.
Go ahead.
Not too long ago, I was watching a documentary called The Man Who Built America, and I was, you know, just looking at it and looking how back then, how it was the steel, was oil, was all that shit. And I feel like now we're in an age of enlightenment and, like, tech and, like, product and stuff like that. And I started really searching and reading up on J.P. Morgan, not one because it's the same initials as mine, but then I started really getting deeper into it, and a lot of things in his story really started resonating to me. So is there a reason I was seeking so much J.P. Morgan?
Peggy Mellon.
Peggy Hitchcock. You're talking about my friend, J.W.
Yeah.
Ion.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Peggy Mellon Hitchcock. She was married to Walter Boward, and she's one of the major inheritors of the Mellon fortune.
Okay.
She was born in 1933, so she would be 70. She's 80 now?
That's another thing about the 1933, about all those scientists that went from Germany and came to the States, but it seemed like they were all doing the same stuff that we're kind of talking about now. Like,
yes, they were. Ion's done a lot on that. They didn't get as far as us, but they were using mediums. Rachel was the main one. And this is all written up in the novel Gravity's Rainbow. Read that novel by Thomas Pynchon.
So what does that lady have to do with J.P. Morgan, though?
Well, the Mellons were very involved with the, you know, Andrew Mellon brought in the Depression in 1929. He was Secretary of the Treasury under Hoover. And that would be, I don't know, her uncle. Like, I think the son of Andrew Mellon is Richard Scaife Mellon, who led the whole campaign against the Clintons in the 90s. The Mellons are, you know, Rockefeller guys, and they must have been involved with the Morgans. That's why Ion... So, Ion, there was much intimacy between Andrew Mellon and the Morgans, is what you're saying.
Bank of New York.
The Bank
Mellon
of New York.
Bank.
Carnegie Mellon?
So you're tuning into Peggy, Jack, because Peggy's a member of us. Peggy's a friend of us. And Peggy lives over at the Big Island. And Walter Boward was married to Peggy. So Peggy is the Mellon who's the closest involved with Dobbstown. That might be why you're picking up on her. What would you say to that, Ion?
Yeah, he asked a question and we answered it. That's all.
Well, I'm explaining why you said Peggy.
Doesn't need explaining. It is.
Peggy is a friend of Uncle Bob, Jack.
Okay.
Margaret, if I were to look it up on Google or something,
maybe
whatever. Margaret.
Oh,
Mellon.
Peggy, yes.
Ellen Hitchcock.
She's a major character in Tim Leary. She funded everything. LaRouche would say Peggy was the Antichrist because her Millbrook estate in upstate New York was where Leary had a lot of his LSD parties. And a lot of activity happened in Millbrook. And you can look at Leary's book, autobiography called Flashbacks, and there's a picture of Peggy and Leary and maybe Ginsberg and someone else. Peggy went on to fund the first Grateful Dead album. She funded a lot of New Age stuff in the 70s, and she's very involved with funding Tibet House for the Dalai Lama right now.
Okay.
And Aurora Oil and Gas.
Right. So that LaRouche would say that Peggy and her brother Billy are major creators of the Aquarian conspiracy to wreck America, to make it post-industrial. That's what LaRouche said. I'm not saying that. LaRouche has done a lot of detailed history on that. It's pretty fun to read, but you don't necessarily have to believe it.
What does the ion say?
270 Park Place Avenue, New York, New York, 1007.
That's where Walter would go in 68 that led him to end up marrying Peggy.
Why would he marry
someone? Something you could grab. Let's bring in the TV buddy.
Because Kiki just likes to fuck. He doesn't know.
Who does? Who likes to fuck?
Kiki just likes to fuck. He doesn't know.
That's right.
Exactly. He didn't know. Yeah.
Let me put it in concrete. This is where you live. The TV body, Uma Thurman. Uma Thurman's mother was married to Tim Leary for a year in the mid-60s because of Peggy. So the Thurmans are very close to Peggy.
And the Dalai Lama through her father.
Yes, he's a professor at Columbia, professor of Buddhism. So I did a 13-hour interview with Peggy. When I did that Mesquite, Nevada UFO conference, well, that was in August, but in May I was in Tucson, and I interviewed her for 9 cassettes, 13 hours, I think it is. She went through her whole history. It wasn't anybody she didn't interact with all the way through. When she was a child, her father was a good friend of Sarnoff, the major media corporate guy of the 30s and 40s. And Sarnoff brought over a TV into their home, like about 1941 or something. So she saw a TV at the age of 8. And her father invented the Rolls-Royce jet, which was a key important weapon in World War II. And he went up and test drove it and died in the crash of it. But the plane went on to be very important in America's arsenal. Her father was quite an inventor or whatever. He was a famous polo guy. And, you know, and her mother was the Miss Fashion everything of 1922, say, because she was born in 1900. So she would be the Gloria Vanderbilt of her day. Here's an important thing about J.P. Morgan that Ian pointed out. Tesla gets the good image because Morgan was the bad guy who took Tesla's stuff and couldn't make money off it, so he suppressed it. Well, Ian says it's the opposite.
No, you're going to say that.
That's right.
Tell it, Ian.
Well, I'll try it, and Ian can correct me. But the Morgans understood the role of money for a while. They would have preserved it properly and done something, and it would have come out. But Tesla was such a greed head, he got all fucked up about it and got mad. Morgan turns out to be the sitting pretty there.
He bought him and put it on a shelf. He bought him. And because Tesla was willing to sell it, he didn't have anything, he couldn't get anything, he didn't want to be anything, and they were running like a little troll, and money was begat, wrought, and secured to create, and then it belonged to JP, so it was his to do as they pleased.
So Morgan suppressed it.
But he
Morgan
didn't do anything with it.
Why
he didn't
he do anything
he
with
didn't
it?
Do it? Because of White Westinghouse, Edison.
What were they doing?
So J.P. bought him out and game
no,
over.
No, J.P. financed him. He financed him. He wouldn't have been anything without his financing.
Right. What you mean?
We're talking
mean
about
Tesla,
not White Westinghouse, okay?
No,
he
but
was
White Westinghouse
shareholder
was the
of White Westinghouse.
Yes, yes. At first, he was with Westinghouse, but Westinghouse was bought out by J.P. Morgan, so game over, yeah.
Why did J.P. Morgan suppress Tesla's technology?
He didn't. He just filed it away.
Why didn't he implement it?
With media.
It was for now.
Because it wasn't time for it back then.
It was for us.
Or little.
It's for us now. Exactly. Oh, hell yeah. All right.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Hell yeah.
I kind of got that because back then, the shit they were on, it wouldn't really work back then. But now, if you think about it, and the stuff they're on, if you think about it now, it's now. Yeah.
You needed a Wi-Fi LAN network for tests to work, and they didn't have a LAN network then.
Yeah.
You didn't even have the cloud. We've enjoyed this interaction immediately.
The cloud is going to be good.
Uh-oh, wait a minute, Ian. Don't take off too fast. He may have gone. We were getting too close with our questions. He was going to leave. He
too
left.
Close to...
Too close to what?
To the cold fusion story.